Stood in line till closing time, overdrank to a Thomas Rhyme. You bit your lip, I held my tongue. How can I be getting older when I feel so young? Stand to the right, I'm coming through. Got no place to go, plenty to do. Got a mouthful of words that I can hardly speak. Got the bottom of a valley and I'll reach my peak. Some people call it my way, I wouldn't have to wait around one more day. Oh, they say that looking is half the fun, but you know it's not when you found the one. When you found the one that you love and adore, well, how can you be happy with anymore?
to WAEJ The Drew Show. Thanks for joining Andrew Woodson as he interviews interesting and creative people
from the world of sports, entertainment, and culture.
Also check out his conversations with today's news and hot topics.
Hey, this is singer-songwriter Brian White, and you're listening to my friend Andrew right here on The Drew Show. Take it away, Drew.
Hello, everyone. Thank you so much for joining The Drew Show today. We had to take a little break. Some family emergencies are kind of going on right now, and we're trying to get some things worked out. And there's just been a lot going on lately. But we're happy to be here on The Drew Show today, and kind of put that aside for the moment, and we're happy to be here. Thank you all so much for tuning in. We really appreciate all your support. We appreciate all your support every single day of us being able to go on our show page and to see how many people have viewed the archive shows that we have, and to see how many people have listened to the live shows as well. You guys have no idea how much that really means to us, that the effort that we put forth to bring shows to you guys and for you to listen to them and for you to comment on them and everything else. It really means a lot to us. It really does. I want to give a shout out as usual to the VRO, and you can check them out at thevro.com. And please check out my website. It's still under construction. We're still doing some things to it, but it's www.thedrewshow.com. And also check us out on Facebook at WAEJ The Drew Show, I believe. That's bad that I don't know it right off. Isn't it? we have a great show for everyone today, and I am pleased to have this gentleman on the show. You know him from hits like That's Me in the Bar, Some People Call It Love, and Count the Ways, just to name a few. You have seen this guest perform on Jay Leno, David Letterman, Conan O'Brien, Good Morning America, MTV, VH1, so many things, and I am very pleased to welcome him to the show today, Mr. AJ Croce. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great, thank you.
Good. Wow, it's such a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you so much for joining me.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks.
Yeah. AJ, tell us a little about your childhood. What was it like growing up for you?
I had a pretty interesting childhood. for folks that, you know, didn't know it when the show started, I came from a musical family. And my dad played music, my mom played music, and my grandparents played music. So I'm the fourth generation to do it. It was always around. And even though I grew up without my father because, you know, he passed when I was about two, mm-hmm. I still grew up with his music. And I got to know him through the music that we sort of shared in common, the things like Fats Waller and Bessie Smith and Mississippi John Hurt and all of this American music, Woody Guthrie and Hank Williams and Pink Anderson and all of the obscure stuff that we just sort of found on our own, and I sort of came to know my dad through that.
Wow. And at the age of 4 years old, you lost your eyesight as a result of a brain tumor. And during that time, you learned to play piano. And I know for me, piano is probably the most hardest thing I've ever tried to do. So being blind, what was that experience like for you? How difficult was that time for you?
Well, I think if you're ever, if you're sick in any way or you have something that goes wrong like that, you find a certain patience that you didn't know that you had before. And I think it was that sort of patience that allowed me to, to learn things. But I also had people around that were really encouraging. There were musicians around and songwriters around that, would sit down with me. One person in particular, her name was Pat Rosalia, and she was a songwriter and had performed and been part of a number of different groups in the 60s. And she would sit, I would sit next to her when she was writing, and she would say, pick out the notes that sound right. Mm-hmm. And so I would just play whatever sounded good to my ears. And that's how I learned scales. And I also learned it by playing along to the radio. I had a little transistor radio, and I listened to the AM station because it was like top 40 of what was going on at the time. And so I would listen to Bowie and ELO and Elton John and all the rock and roll stuff that was happening, Wings and Zeppelin and Aerosmith and everything else, anything that could possibly be on a top 40 station in the 70s, I was listening to. But I got turned on to Ray Charles when I was, during that time, because it was about a 6-year period where I, sort of gradually got my sight back in my left eye. And it was through Ray Charles that I really, and Stevie Wonder, that I really discovered I really discovered something special as far as music went, because I realized that it was like the roots of everything that I loved and that I was hearing on the AM station, and it was also the sort of the roots. I started learning through them their influences and found the roots of American popular music.
Wow, and Ray Charles and Stevie Wonder, they're just amazing people. Now, you said you, and I did read that you gradually did get sight back in your left eye. Is that still the case today?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, I had the great experience when I was pretty young, in my early 20s, of being able to play with Ray and tell him the story of my experience and learning to play piano to his stuff.
Wow. And what was probably the greatest advice that you ever got from Ray Charles? That must have been amazing to even be around him.
I think more than anything else, it was a certain sense of that you need to sort of, if you want to do this for a living, you just need to do it. You need to persevere. There's a lot of things that get in your way. There's a lot of things that make it hard, whether it's the business side of things or the commercial, commercial side of the way it is, or the way that, it's hard to have a personal life with, in the music business, harder, I would say, than other lines of work. But if you want to do it, that you just need to keep doing it. And if you do it for long enough, you'll see some payoff. That doesn't mean it's a financial payoff, but it's a payoff of some sort.
Right, right. And AJ, your father, of course, the legend, Mr. Jim Croce, he had such a soulful voice, such an incredible singer. I absolutely loved his music. I love his music. And now, I know he passed away when you were real young, but growing up listening to his music and hearing stories about him from your mom and people around you, do you feel like you've taken a lot of that into your own music?
In your own life? Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I think that my father was able to do something that few people are able to do, which is to make. He was just a natural as far as songwriting went, but he was able to tell stories about everyday people that made them seem like heroes, mm-hmm. even if it was someone in your daily life you might run across this person. He found a way to make them seem more than just that, and so, that was a real gift. And I think that he found a way to incorporate his influences and still be a unique artist.
Mm-hmm.
And I think more than anything else, that's what I think I've chased my whole career, is finding a balance for the things that you love and then finding what about them makes you who you are, and then putting it down.
Absolutely. Can you share any personal stories that about your father that a lot of people don't know, that you learned yourself?
Well, I don't know what anyone knows, man, so I can't really tell you. I don't know where to start. I think a lot of people, a lot of people don't realize that he was a smart man, and he was educated,
mm-hmm.
And he really appreciated people. He sort of reminds me of a modern day Will Rogers, and right. In that he really found the positive side of people, regardless of their character. He found something entertaining, humorous, special, and made them feel that way. And I think that because a lot of people have heard his music but never got to see him,
mm-hmm.
there is footage out there, but I think it's definitely worth pursuing. It's definitely worth picking up the DVD and seeing what he was about, because he was funny, he was intelligent, he was thoughtful, and he's a little bit of everything that's in those songs.
All right. And you and your mom actually have a restaurant in San Diego, is that right?
Well, not me, but my mom does. Yeah, she has a place in San Diego, mm-hmm. and it's great. It's called Croce's, and it's if you're a Jim Croce fan, then you should definitely visit it. A lot of memorabilia and great food, and it's a tribute to his music.
That must be incredible.
Yeah, I mean, if you're into what he does, then it's sort of the mecca.
Right. Now, I was going
that
to say...
South Philly.
What's that?
That or South Philly.
I was going to say that before we got on this subject, that your inspiration being Ray... your inspiration, you know, caring about Ray Charles so much and learning from him so much, you have that tone of voice to you that sounds so much like Ray Charles.
I lost my voice. The record you're playing is Me and the Barb. The next record after that was in 95 that was released. And record after that was called Fit to Serve in 98. And when I went in to do the session for that record, I was recording it in Memphis, and I opened my mouth to sing, and nothing came out. And I'd been on the road for about 8 years.
Wow.
7 or 8 years playing a lot of shows, 200 dates a year, sometimes more, sometimes a little bit less, but about 200 dates a year, plus all of the travel that is involved in getting to those gigs. And so I was really burnt out, and my voice was really blown out. And so I opened my mouth to sing, and nothing came out, and I went to see a doctor at the university there, and they said, you've got polyps on your vocal cords, you need to stop, you need to take a break. Wow. And I couldn't take a break because, I was booked to play. I had tours, I was, doing a record, and it wasn't an option. So he sort of patched me up with medicine and with different things, and I went out and I did it, and then once that record was done, I really needed to take a break, and I sort of lost my voice because of that, and it took a couple years to get it back. And when I did, I found that there was something else came out. I didn't have the same stuff in my voice. It sounded different.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you just sort of, roll with the punches, and you go with it.
Right.
And I can, I've finally gotten to the place where I can sing those songs again, but for many years I couldn't sing that stuff because it was just too hard for my throat and for my voice.
Wow.
And then in the last couple of years I really, really found it again. And I really enjoy playing some of my early stuff.
Well, did you ever feel like giving up because you couldn't get your voice back?
Yeah, it was. I felt really vulnerable. It was like walking out naked on the stage because I wasn't sure when I opened my mouth to sing what I was going to get. It wasn't until the show started and I started singing that I would go, okay, this is what I have to work with. And, you do it for long enough and you sort of know that every situation is different and you sort of work with it. It's just the nature of doing any job.
Mm-hmm.
But being in front of people, it's, adds that element of sort of terror. I shouldn't say that. I'm not really terrified of performing. I really love it. But there is a certain amount of a certain amount of stress that I put on myself to perform well, and having that sort of facet of it that you're not sure about was pretty scary.
And I have heard that a lot of people do put that stress on them. You currently have 5 CDs out. Your debut entered in the top 10 U.S. jazz chart in '93, and to follow that, that's Me
There's
and the Bar.
Seven out right now.
Seven out,
there's
okay.
Seven, Yeah, there's 7 actual CDs, and there's 8 including the early on, which is a collection of the first 3 records. And then in this fall, there's a 9th coming out called Further On, which is the latest 3 collection of stuff from about 2000 to now.
Ah, so that's what I get for reading things on the internet, I guess, right? Well,
yeah, go on. I'm sorry.
No, you go ahead. I'm sorry.
I just finished compiling Further On, which, doing that myself, it's not my favorite thing. I'd rather listen to other people's music than my own.
Well, I was going to say, that's me and the bar actually landed in the top 10 in 95, and this time in the Americana and Blues charts. So congratulations on that. And I'd love to play that real quick. That's me and the bar. So let's hear that.
Please.
Broke my heart in half the time. It's been broken before. You took my soul, and that's a crime. But when you walked out that door, I said, hold back now, you're gone too far. Well, there's him in the window and me in the bar. Well, I don't need your explanation, but I don't need your alibi, and I don't need your conversation.
And I have to say, that is one of my favorite songs. That's Me in the Bar.
Oh, thank you so much.
It has such a soulful sound to it. And did you write that song based on personal experience?
I did, yeah. I mean, some of it at least. You know, like all songs, most of them have a basis in real life, at least my songs. I wrote it. I wrote the words to it, and I wrote the music with my friend Dave Curtis, and I remember sitting down and doing that, like it was not not more than a few weeks ago.
Of any of the songs,
it really happened. It happened in 2 minutes.
Was it? Oh, really? Of any of the songs you have written, which one would you say is your favorite, or which one means the most to you? I should say.
You know, I think it just depends on you know, when you ask me that question. There's a few songs that have really stuck out for me, and they're not necessarily the hit songs, but there's a song called What You Want that was on a 2004 mm-hmm. Release of the album was called Adrian James Croce. That one for me is just something about it has a real personal thing. And then also off of my first album, I Found Faith was a really sort of special song for me.
Right. And you have obviously performed with some of the greats in music. Is there still an artist out there that you would love to perform with?
Yeah, I want to play with the Rolling Stones. I want to play piano with the Rolling Stones. I've always wanted to do that. And not long ago, I was talking to Bobby Whitlock about it because I don't know if you know him or not, but he's a great keyboard player and singer and songwriter, and he was part of Derek and the Dominoes, and he also wants the gig, so I got to fight him for it. And chances are, you know, he'll probably get it. But yeah, I figure if I wait long enough, I might outlive him and might get the gig. I think the Stones are going to last a while.
Yeah.
Who knows?
That would be awesome. And you have to come back on my show when you do get that opportunity. That'd be incredible.
Yes.
So,
I'd love to.
What's that?
I said I'd love to.
Yeah. So what are you working on now with your music, AJ? Do you ever have plans on writing a book?
No. As far as writing a book, I still think I've got a little time before I should put anything down. Maybe I start taking notes, you know?
Right.
But I think, you know, I'm just about to turn 40, so I think I've still got a little bit of time. Before that, and I don't think there's anyone that's really that interested. You know, I've spent most of my career avoiding celebrity, and that, you know, for the most part, that means to most people that means success, because I just never had an interest in being famous. I always had more of an interest in being able to stay creative and do things that I loved. And sort of a catch-22 because, you know, you have to have a certain amount of renown to be able to get people to come to your shows and buy your records.
Right.
But at the same time, it was just never, you know, it was something that I sort of shied away from, and I think I probably lost a lot of opportunities over the years to become famous because it was just not an, you know, and I just had no interest in that. I'd rather be good at what I do. I'd rather become a great piano player, a great songwriter, you know. I'd rather you know, learn a new instrument and, you know, learn some new thing on guitar. That's far more interesting to me than, you know, finding, you know, new people and new experiences, and that's far more interesting to me than being recognized, you know. And so, consequently, there's probably not a lot of people waiting for a book.
Well, I personally think you've been through so much in your life, and you've had so many life experiences with losing your sight and losing your voice, and just people that you've played with. I mean, it's just been incredible that I believe it would be very successful if you were to write a book one day. And I think you may not realize it, but I think you are a celebrity. You are, you know, people would die to perform with the people you have performed with. I mean, you've been on Jay Leno and David Letterman and MTV, VH1, and you know, that's something that definitely not everybody gets to do. So.
No, and you know, and I'm appreciative for those, you know, for those experiences. Although I'll be quite honest, I've never felt like I performed my best on television. You know.
Mm.
You know, I think the best way to you know, hear what I do is to, you know, come to a show,
right,
or just come over. You know, my favorite performances are here at my house. You know, just come over and we play music, and those are always the best experiences. So you'll have to come over.
Do you have any plans of touring? Possibly coming to Georgia. That's where I'm at, by the way.
I love Georgia, I would love to. I don't have a plan right now. I'm doing the West Coast. Let's see, I'm playing in Seattle on the 16th, and then on the 21st I'm in Ventura, and then the 23rd I'm in Monterey in California, and then 28th in San Diego, and then at Anthology. And then in August, I'm running around. September, I'm going to be in Europe. September and October,
wow.
Promoting the new thing. So I'll be around.
Wow.
You know, and you know, I've been living in Nashville for the last few years, and so I've got a lot of friends there, and I'll definitely be in your neck of the woods, you know, before too long.
All right, and my brother actually lives there in Nashville. His name is Chris Woodson. He sings and he acts in a few movies and different things.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I know he would love to meet you as well. So definitely, that'd be.
Yeah, well, definitely. come, you know, we'll have to hook up.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm sure we'll have to do it.
Absolutely, and I want to thank you so much for joining me, AJ. Before I let you go, as I mentioned just a moment ago, I know you have dealt with losing your voice and being blind and all of that. For someone that may go through the same thing, what do you have any advice for them? Anything, any encouraging advice that, you know, when they're feeling like they just can't handle it anymore?
I think keeping a sense of humor is like probably the best advice that I can give to anyone. That, you know, if they wanted my advice, you know, I think that quite honestly that, you know, you have two ways of looking at a situation, either, you know, in a dark way or a light way. And if you don't take your situation that seriously and treat it like, you know, part of the reason I wasn't really probably as maybe damaged.
Mm-hmm.
As some other people, maybe by those experiences, was that, you know, I was pretty young, and when you're young, you don't know the difference. It's
mm-hmm.
only it's the people around you that tell you that you should recognize the difference, you know, mm-hmm. And it's not until you get older that you can really see the difference, you know, even if you know that there or hear that there is a difference. So, you know, when you're a kid, you have this sort of childlike wonder about the world, regardless of how you're living in it, regardless of whether you're seeing or not seeing, hearing or not hearing,
mm-hmm.
you know, just your experience. And I think that is like the main thing is being able to look at things in a sort of less serious light.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think everyone experiences difficult stuff all the time. Friends die, family, you know, passes, people are sick. And it's part of life.
Right.
And so like anything, you know, we're all going to suffer. We need to laugh about it.
I guess that's the laugh to keep from crying, right?
That's right. That's right. Definitely.
Right.
But,
yeah.
But it's also, I think it's also just, it's laughing for the sake of joy, because it's one of the best things in life.
Absolutely. Wow. AJ, it is a true pleasure having you on the show, and thank you so much for coming on, and we have to stay in touch.
Sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Just write to me or give me a ring, and I'll talk to you next time.
Great, AJ. Thank you.
Great. Take care. Bye.
You too. Bye-bye. That was Mr. AJ Croce. I want to thank him so much for joining me, and thank you, everyone, so much for listening in. Keep tuned on for The Drew Show for more shows to come. On July the 4th, we'll have Mr. Rudy Rudiker on the show. We are really looking forward to that, so please tune in. Please go please go on Twitter and like and follow me, I should say. Please go on Twitter and follow me at WAEJ The Drew Show. And keep tuned in for more shows as well. Thank you all so much for joining me again. Good night.